Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q4 2020 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. At this time, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ramón Güémez. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores fourth quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded, and a replay of this call will be available online on February 18th at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José-Oriol Bosch, our CEO, Catalina Claret, SVP Clearing Houses, José Manuel Allende, SVP Issuers and Information, Roberto González, SVP Central Securities Deposit, Claudio Vivian, Chief Information Officer, Hugo Contreras, SVP Compliance and Regulations, Gabriel Rodríguez, CEO of SIFICAP, Alfredo Guillén, Chief Operating Officer, José Miguel de Dios Meserres, CEO, Rosa Crespo, Director of Human Resources, Luis René Ramón, Director of IR, and myself, Ramón Güémez. I would now like to turn the call over to our CEO, Oriol Bosch. Oriol?
Yes, sorry. Thank you, Ramón, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our fourth quarter 2020 earnings conference call. I hope that you're all doing well and staying safe. I'm glad to announce that in spite of a very difficult year, BMV delivered record high results in revenue, operating income, EBITDA, and net income in 2020. And today, I would like to share with you our quarterly and annual financial results and present the different areas where we are focusing to transform BMV technologically and how it incorporates with our BMV's strategy. So first, let me present the results of the fourth quarter. We delivered very good numbers. You all have the presentation that we sent you for this meeting, so I would appreciate if you can go to slide three. And in this slide, we have our key financial highlights for the fourth quarter. And the revenue was 954 million pesos. That's up 4% compared to the fourth quarter of 2019 due to higher value traded and volume in transactional businesses, as well as higher demand for the global market services, the SIC, settlement and custody, and information services. On expenses, our expenses were 484 million pesos, mainly explained by personal expenses, technology cost, and non-recurring items, not considering the non-recurring concepts expenses would have increased 47 million pesos or 12% during the fourth quarter of 2020. The EBITDA was registered at 527 million pesos with an EBITDA margin of 55%. The net income reached 325 million pesos, that was up 5%. On the next slide, regarding the key financial highlights for 2020, the annual results showed BMV's strong and well-diversified business model and highlights the need for continuing executing our medium-term strategy. The revenue for the year was 3.9 billion pesos. That was up 9% compared to 2019, driven by capital and derivative markets, continued demand for global market services, settlement and custody in Indeval, and information services. Expenses for the year were 1.8 billion pesos as a result of a dollar-denominated concept, mainly in technology and subcustody, personal expenses, and non-recurring concepts, which I will elaborate later on the call. Excluding non-recurring items, the expenses increased by 84 million pesos, or 5% compared to 2019. EBITDA was registered at 2.3 billion pesos with an EBITDA margin of 59%. The net income reached 1.5 billion pesos, that was up 12%. On the next slide, the revenue by each business line during 2020, the total revenue was up 9% in 2020. Equity trading was 9%. Equity trading and clearing was 9% up. Derivatives trading and clearing 9%. OTC trading 10%. Capital formation -6%. Central securities depository 20%. Information services 8%. And in other revenues, we had an increase of 9%. On the next slide regarding the operating expenses for 2020, the operating expenses were up 8% compared to 2019. During 2020, non-recurring items had an impact of 53 million pesos because of personal long-term bonus program for 18 million pesos, consulting fees for 13 million, and an allowance for uncollectible accounts and a reclassification of credit notes to expenses for 22 million. Excluding non-recurring items, the expenses increased by 84 million pesos or 5% compared to 2019. Personnel was up 51 million pesos, 18 million because of the long-term bonus program, and 33 million due to variable compensation in CFICAP and increases in annual salary. Technology was up 32 million pesos, explained by new software in projects such as electronic securities and a second payment provider to strengthen business continuity in the Central Securities Depository. Increment of central bandwidth and purchase of data for the global market or SIC-related services. Depreciation increased 18 million pesos due to the acquisition of hardware, mainly for the disaster recovery plan, server renovations with brokers, and the electronic securities project. Consulting fees was up 18 million pesos, 13 million in non-recurring advice for the DRP project, as well as legal services. Subcustody was up 18 million pesos due to the dollar-denominated concepts and a larger number of assets under custody abroad. This line is directly linked to revenues in Indeval. And others was up 7 million pesos, 22 million because of an allowance for uncollectible accounts and an accounting reclassification of credit notes to expenses, partly offset by 15 million pesos because of the cancellation of promotional events and business trips due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In a scenario without pandemic or under normal conditions, we estimate FMV would have spent 20 million pesos more from consultancy fees, rent, and maintenance, as well as promotional activities. Going forward, we will maintain our cost control culture as we continue to invest in FMV's technological transformation. Capital expenditures will increase from 40 million pesos in 2020 to a range between 80 to 120 million pesos. On the next slide, regarding the equity trading and clearing, cash equities trading revenue was 16% higher than the fourth quarter of 2019 due to higher operating value traded. The average daily traded value for the fourth quarter of 2020 was 15.6 billion pesos, up 26%. Domestic market decreased 10% and represented 49% of total average daily traded value. The global market increased 47% and amounted to 51% of a total average daily traded value. As for CCB, revenues increased 10 million pesos because of higher volatility in both local and international market, which in turn increased total average daily traded value. As of December 31st, 2020, 52% of the total value traded is coming from the global market. Since the inauguration of the SIC, it is the first time in annual terms that the global market has a higher average daily traded value weight than the local market. On the next slide, on slide 8, on our operational highlights, in the fourth quarter, the average daily traded value was 15.6 billion pesos daily. As of you all know, the average daily traded value in March 2020 was mainly explained by the uncertainty and volatility in the local and global financial markets due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and in November 2020 because of U.S. elections and rebalancing of portfolios. So far this year, we have witnessed the same level of activity in the markets in January 2021. The average daily traded value registered at Bolsa was 16.2 billion pesos. On next slide, slide number 9, regarding derivatives trading and clearing, the revenue in Nextera and Asigna increased 12% and 22% respectively in the fourth quarter, and 1% and 15% for the year. In TIER swaps, there was higher volume, 29%, with a notional value of 241 billion pesos. However, U.S. dollar futures and IPC index contracts decreased versus 2019. Today in Mexico, there are few institutional clients, and we are working with pension and mutual funds to help them in the process to get authorized. Average margin deposits were 40 billion pesos in the fourth quarter and 40.2 billion pesos for the year. That's up 22% and 24% respectively. We continue working with financial authorities to list new products, and as this Friday, February 19, Mexter will list the overnight TIIE futures. On the next slide, on regarding the OTC trading, CIFICAP revenue was down 21 million pesos, or 14%. CIFICAP Mexico was down 3 million, or 6%. And CIFICAP Chile decreased 18 million pesos, or 19%. This behavior is explained mainly by lower traded volumes of government bonds and interest rate swaps. CIFICAP Chile tax benefits from operations with foreign counterparties, where the company was subject to a 19% VAT, amounted to 8 million pesos in the quarter. In annual terms, CIFICAP reached 641 million pesos, up 56 million or 10% more than 2019. That was 20% higher in Chile, while 6% lower in Mexico. On next slide, on our capital formation, the capital formation or listing and maintenance dropped 14 million pesos or 9% compared to the fourth quarter 2019. Listing revenue was down 13 million pesos, explained by lower number of listings and lower amount placed in the short and long-term debt markets. Additionally, there were no listings of equity and alternative securities in the fourth quarter. However, in annual terms, our CECADES SERPIS were listed, four CECADES and SERPIS were listed, PROMECAP for 1.2 billion pesos, Mexico Infrastructure Partners for 1.9 billion, Arago Gestión for 677 million, and Valores Bocel for 375 million. We also had one Fibrae Ideal for 25.8 billion pesos and one Fibra Sites for 12 billion pesos. We expect this business line to pick up in 2021 as the economy recovers from COVID-19. Maintenance fees were in line with fourth quarter 2019, mainly due to the discount plan for government securities and warrants. It is important to mention that in January 2021, VNB published a new fee structure for several securities in both debt and equity markets. The Mexican Stock Exchange continues supporting the economic development of Mexico and encourage the growth of financial markets throughout the country. This even more so as the economy recovers from the pandemic. The new fee structure will have a 10 million pesos impact per quarter in 2021. On next slide, number 12, on the Central Securities Depository, Indeval's revenues was up 15% compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, and its growth is mainly explained by the services related to the global market, the SIC, settlement and average value of assets under custody. The main driver of growth in Indeval has been the global market. As you may recall, in July 2017, we implemented a new business model which reduced 50% the cost for intermediaries, and consequently, foreign assets doubled between 3 years. Global market include cross-border settlement, corporate actions, and tax services. The average value of the assets under custody was up 4% and 19% in the local and global market, respectively. Regarding the direct custody project, we continue building ties with global custodians in order to start operations in the second semester of 2021. On slide 13, regarding information services, the information services was up 19 million pesos or 14% compared to the fourth quarter 2019. Market data revenue was up 17% as a result of sales, mostly in dollars, of data feeds, worldwide terminals, indices, and benchmarks, and regularization of customers. Balmer revenue increased 10% due to the sales of databases and new products such as credit and debit value adjustment analysis. And we continue doing trials with the major global vendors and potential clients. On slide 14, VNV strategy is delivering strong results despite challenging environment. VNV has a well-diversified business model, which contributed to a solid organic revenue growth in several of VNV's core businesses. VNV continues to invest in resiliency, efficiency, technology, and new services while keeping operating expenses well under control. A strong cash generation, operating cash flows before taxes of 2.6 billion pesos. CapEx reached 40 million, pesos mainly invested in technological upgrades and regulatory projects, not including hardware leases. And as mentioned before, we are planning to increase our capital expenditures in 2021 between 80 to 120 million pesos as we transform the business technologically. Furthermore, I am pleased to communicate that BMV's Board of Directors agreed to recommend to our shareholders' assembly a dividend hike from 1.07 to 1.2 billion pesos, which results in 2.02 pesos per share and an 80% payout ratio. On slide 15, in order to have a stronger Mexican exchange, we must focus on BMV's technological transformation. It has four main pillars. The first one, operational excellence. We are analyzing and building a multi-year roadmap establishing milestones and migration plans from our physical applications and infrastructure towards a cloud computing platform that will allow BMV to have a scalable, secure, and resilient environment with optimal cost and time. Second, refocus on the role of IT. We are redesigning the organization with an accountability framework and clear ownership of a growing set of products and services. By developing an agile culture and lean processes, BMV will be ready to react faster to the market's needs. Third, technological platform, analyzing and assuring that BMV has a robust, integrated, reliable, and fully functional platform in order to provide value to our core businesses. And four, disruptive technologies, evaluating which technologies make sense in BMV's business model and implementing them with customer-centricity mindset. On the next slide, number 16, we are committed to transform technologically and continue executing our strategy to generate new sources of revenue, especially in post-trade and market data businesses, while strengthening traditional businesses. Develops highly integrated platforms to minimize vulnerabilities and support business growth in an agile and efficient manner. Customer centricity in everything we do, strategic alliances and work closer with regulators and clients, scalability of services, and to sum up, we are developing the organizational capabilities and technology backbone to maintain and improve our current offerings and develop new opportunities to capitalize in the medium term. On slide 17, on the corporate sustainability, BMV is leading by example in collaboration with our stakeholders to enhance performance on ESG issues and encourage sustainable investment. The Mexican Stock Exchange is actively promoting sustainable finance and governance in Mexico. In 2020, there were five sustainable bonds listed with an amount issued of 17 billion pesos, as well as 29 ESG-focused ETFs. As mentioned in the previous call, BMV released, together with the Standard & Poor's, and updated ESG index called the S&P BMV Total Mexico, and we are collaborating with investors and companies to build a standard ESG reporting format. Through Mexico DOS, Mexico CO2, there were 21,000 tons offset by voluntary carbon market. Secondly, we have enhanced our collaboration with issuers and clients, and through technology platforms, continue strengthening financial awareness in Mexico. To give you some examples, BMV released a podcast which is ranked in the top 10 financial podcasts in Mexico, has become more active in social media, and continues offering finance courses through webinars and conferences online. MUVO, our Bolsas Museum, has received 15,000 virtual visitors during the pandemic. And third, we continue executing our BCP protocol and have taken further steps to make sure that none of our stakeholders are left behind in these times of uncertainty. And last but not least, I am very happy to communicate that GMV improved by 30% in the corporate sustainability assessment and will continue executing its ESG strategy to build a stronger and sustainable Mexican exchange. And in the last slide, on the summary, our continued execution and strategy, positive results due to a strong demand for the global market and the services to support it, as well as information services. A strong financial results, despite a challenging environment, BMV delivered record high figures in revenue, operating income, EBITDA, and net income in 2020. And as mentioned before, we are recommending to the shareholders' assembly a dividend hike from 1.07 to 1.2 billion pesos, given BMV's strong cash flow generation. While diversified and positioned to drive further growth, we focus on technological transformation and capabilities to seize multiple growth opportunities and drive top-line growth in all core businesses. And with that, I thank you for your time, and together with my colleagues, we will gladly answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, Ramon, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. I have three from my side. My first question is on revenues. Which do you think will be the drivers for this year? Can you talk about your strategy on the discount plan for this year and the potential percentage of revenues that you can be ceding to competition? And also related to revenues, how are you seeing the evolution of individual accounts and how can these be translated into higher revenues for Bolsa? My second question is related to expenses. Considering non-recurring expenses this quarter, how do you see the evolution of expenses this year, especially considering that you have been analyzing how to make more efficient your technology expenses? And finally, for my last question, how should we think about your net income guidance? Can we expect a similar growth when compared to last year? Thank you.
Ernesto, good morning. Thank you for your questions. Let me start from the last one. The board has recommended that we do not give guidance. So we will not be commenting on our net income expectations for this year. However, I would say that while we do see a very uncertain year ahead, and we do certainly see some headwinds, but we're also, I think with our initiatives and our diversified business model, we will be able to continue with the trends we have. But we will not be giving a specific guidance number. In regarding expenses, we are working on a technology transformation plan, which will allow us to reduce our technology expenses. However, in the meantime, we do have several initiatives. And cybersecurity, disaster recovery plan, increased the second provider for the Indeval, having electronic securities in Indeval. Many of these projects began or had an impact on Q4, and this is as we implement our technology transformation, we should see sometime this year. We can see the impact sometime this year. I'll let Claudio elaborate a little more on that a little later, please. And regarding revenues, on the impact on our drivers for this year, I think where we see most upside is again in Indeval and market data. Other trading businesses are very dependent on volatility and on market activity. So since we cannot forecast that, where we see more opportunity, I said it's in the bond and market data. And the impact on the discounts, as Ariel mentioned, is $10 million per quarter. Claudio, could you talk about our technology transformation initiative, please?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Ernesto, for your question. Well, as Oriol and Ramon mentioned, we are investing in improving our technology platform. And this has to do with, I would say, two major, let's say, objectives. One of them is to take advantage of new technologies in order to reduce costs and also increase the effectiveness of our products and services to our customers. And the second has to do with improving the architecture in order to emphasize in offering the market data to the market in a better and continuous improvement way for increasing the services. So this, of course, is impacting the cost during the last quarter, and will keep a little higher during the coming let's say couple of quarters. Even though we are expecting that mainly related to the Journey to the Cloud initiative, the cost reduction, the net cost reduction will impact by the end of this year, mainly related to infrastructure operation. Also having this, the investment is focused on improving the strength and the architecture, as I mentioned. So this will be capitalized during the coming years, and this is pretty much the effect on the expenses related to the technology transformation.
Thank you, Ramon and Claudio. Let me make a quick follow up on revenues. Can you talk about the evolution of individual accounts? And how can these be translated into higher revenues for Bolsa in the future?
Individual brokerage accounts?
Yes.
Well, obviously more participants would be better for us. So the more if individual accounts grew, we would have more trading activity. That would definitely be a good sign for the retail market and for improved activity.
But have you seen have you seen more participants signing and having new accounts, or this is something that continues to be very slow and very moderate?
Alfredo, would you comment something on the market participants and new activity?
Yes, Ramon, thank you. Yes, in terms of what we're looking in the equity markets, in the cash markets, we're shifting our strategy to focus on our clients, the retail sector, which has been unattended for the last years. So we are developing strategies in order to promote those accounts, those clients. We believe that there's a lot of potential there. And we are inviting those clients to participate in the global market, which traditionally has been focused on the institutional sector. So we're basically making some strategies regarding the attending these type of clients, and we have been having a lot of acceptance from the brokers that are targeting these clients.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Claudio Benavente from Santander. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you for the call. So we just released a thematic report where, thanks to the pension reform, we are estimating the pension fund AUMs to duplicate in the next 7 years and to increase to 70% of GDP in the next 20 years. This is clearly an important catalyst for Bolsa. So I was wondering if you could share some thoughts here. How can Bolsa benefit of the pension reform? Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. I think we would most benefit through AUMs in Indeval. So, Roberto, could you please comment on this, please?
Sure. Good morning, and thanks for the question. Yes, we agree that it's a great, great news for the economy, for the market, and certainly for the group. All the assets, or most of the assets of the Afores are already at Indeval, so an incremental in the growth certainly would make them maybe the most relevant segment for Indeval. It could be even bigger than the banks. And what we are working, who started working, is to develop products, and some of them already access Indeval direct way. Some of them also are very active on the SIC market, on the global market. So, yes, we believe that it's a great opportunity to develop additional products, services, reports, and help them in all the different type of assets that they are investing. So we do not have numbers right now of what would be the impact, but certainly they are very, very good news for the group and particularly for Indeval in the future.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kai Prato from UBS.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. So I have only one question, and it is regarding capital formation. Could you please provide us an update about your view on listing revenues? So what are you expecting in terms of debt listings in 2021, if you are already seeing some recovery, and also the pipeline on the equity side too, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Kai. Jose Manuel, could you take this one, please?
Yes, good morning. As Ariel mentioned, the last quarter of 2020, we have no listings of equity or alternative instruments, and revenues were 9% less than the previous year. So the health conditions and economic conditions, as you know, has set a important reduction in the financing and capital formation activities on the last year. Even though we have some Fibra Cs and Cicales, the overall number of the activity was less than what we have in 2019. Generally speaking, even the debt segment in the short term, we have a 25% decay, and the long-term activity a 30%. So this year, I would say 2021 has started slow. January, we have some secades and some debt, short-term debt activity. A positive thing is on the short-term placements, I would say that activity has recovered fully. We are now doing renewals at the same amount that we were doing pre-pandemic last year. So the short term, I would say it's doing okay, but the long term activity, the debt, long term debt activity, hasn't been the case. We have some big corporations and even some mid sized companies coming in the market last year, but we're still below pre-pandemic numbers. We think those corporates will be eventually coming into the market to prepay some credits, a bank credit that were provided during the pandemic. Respect to the equity pipeline, to be honest, we don't have nothing. We know about someone that are working on that, but we still don't have documents, even though confidential ones. We see CECADES, SERPIS, and FIBRAES in the next month as the most active products. We think we can have some of them even in March. And we hope this line of business will be picking up as the economy picks up. So maybe it will take time. And regarding the listing fees that we just mentioned, in January we presented all the issuers a new fee structure, which attends requests and comments that we received in the last year from many of the issuers. Due to the pandemic and the economic situation that most of them had, a lot of companies started to request the exchange some reductions on the fees and to extend the payment timeline. So as it was a situation in which many companies were asking the same, we reviewed the topic with the board. And after doing the process with authority, they finally approved the reduction on the fee schedule that we just announced in order to keep us competitive and in which we established lower prices as the issuer is much more active in the market and places much volume, more volume on the security. So with this, it will have an impact, as we mentioned, but we think that the change can continue supporting the economic development in Mexico and to encourage growth of financial markets.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, José Manuel. And if I can add something and linking this question that was already answered by José Manuel with the previous one regarding the pension reform, and a very interesting report, by the way, Claudia. But I think that the pension reform will benefit the financial system and the economy, and more money, more cash, more assets under management from the Afores that are going to be invested in Mexico are more opportunities, more financing needs to take advantage of them, and this is pretty good news for the bulls.
Okay, thank you.
Formation. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Carlos Gomez from HSBC New York. Your line is now open.
Hello, good morning, and congratulations on the 2020 results. Couple of questions. One, in terms of reforms, do you expect any negative impact from the reform of the energy sector, which is currently being discussed in Congress? And second, on the regulatory front, is there any particular discussion that you are having right now with the regulators that could affect your business in the coming 1 or 2 years, something that you're expecting from them or something you're in discussion with them? Thank you so much.
Carlos, good morning. Sir, could you repeat the first question, please?
Yes, we would like to know if there is any potential negative impact from the energy reform. I mean, the previous energy reform opened some avenues for you to list new instruments, etc. Is the new reform going to reduce that, or do you see any other impact of it on your business?
Thank you. Oriol, would you comment on this one, please?
I would say that one of them would be the expectations on new listings, but I think that in the short term, the one that we were a bit concerned was on a project that we had that we already shared with you, that was to list a new contract for Mexter on the electricity side. That we don't know what is going to happen with that, but it could be delayed. But I think that this is the only one. I don't know if Jose Miguel or Jose Manuel, you have something to add.
Yes, we don't know what is going to happen with the electricity regulation, no? So, and we continue in the process to receive the approval from the authorities. So we think we have to wait until we know what's going to happen with the new regulation, and then we have to evaluate if it's possible to continue with this product or not.
Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Edson Wolfgang.
Sorry, one second, please. There was another question regarding the regulation. Ramon?
Yes. Whether do we have any, are we having any conversations with the authorities regarding potential regulations?
And I don't know, on this side, I don't know if something else would like to add a few words, but we are working and we continue to work with the financial authorities, with regulators. We all have in Mexico the same main objective to continue to grow the exchange market. I think that the regulators also believe in the exchange market to continue to support the economic growth and recovery. So, I have nothing else to add.
Okay.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our next question comes from the line of Edson Murgia from Suma Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Ramon and Rio and everyone else. Thank you for taking my questions and congrats for the results. If I heard correctly, you are expecting to launch officially the future of TA this weekend, I think. That would be my first question. The second one is regarding to the LIBOR SOFR transition. Despite of the fact that clearing houses did it last year, the expectation that we had, it was like, for this first quarter, it will be in Mexico. So I was wondering if you could give us more color about, and if the process is going to be as soft as it was the last year with the clearing houses in the United States and in London. Thank you.
Well, the first question about the list.
Pardon
of
me?
The – sorry? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh. Yeah. Well, about the first question about the list of the TIE de Fondeo overnight TIE product, we are going to list this Friday, this product, no? We expect that we expect that we are going to have banks ready to trade this product, no, this Friday, no, and for the second question, I think we have some problems with the other participants from my side. I don't know.
Sorry.
If somebody else is here.
Yes, Catalina is here.
Do you want to explain the second question?
Yes. What was the second question?
Yes, the second question is regarding the process from LIBOR to SOFR, because last year we got from you that the process from LIBOR or the transition would happen in Mexico this first quarter, 2021.
Yes, okay. Yes, it's going to happen. We're going to do the transition at the same time with CME, mm-hmm. and the transition is going to happen on March 26th. We're going to start on March 26th with the closing price. We're going to use after the closing market, we're going to use the SOFR to in order to evaluate the swaps, and then on Monday, all positions are going to be with the SOFR curve, yield curve. So we are aligned with the other markets that are doing the transition on the same day, in order for the market not have a delay with other if they have other positions in other markets.
And a follow up on this particular matter, because I think the concern is about the pullbacks. And what are your thoughts about the market participants? Are they comply with all the procedures and with all the even the electronics or the systems that would happen softly on March the 26th?
If I understood correctly your question, because it's not very clear the sound. Yes. We are talking with all participants, and we expect to have a soft landing or a soft transition, because we're going to respect the difference of each of the swaps, of the legs of the swaps, on the valuation with the old curve. Once you have the new curve, we're going to maintain that difference, so they don't expect to have any change in the portfolio and the gain and loss on their portfolios. So, and it's exactly the same as they're going to do in the U.S. The difference with last year, what they did is they issue some basis swaps based on the difference in valuation, and in this case, the solution is maintaining that difference and just start the evaluation with a new yield curve.
Okay. It's really helpful. Thank you so much.
And if you have any further question or any doubt, if you have some swaps in the portfolio on the institution that you work, feel free to contact us, and we can show you directly the how we're going to do. And we're going to send some files and some testing. We started this week already.
Perfect. Thank you, Catalina, and thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mohammed Ahmed from FGP. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just a question on the tech cost increase that we saw, and you said that in response to an earlier question that we will continue to see elevated levels for a couple of quarters before it tapers back down. Can you give me a sense of what kind of run rate or what kind of annual level in expenses should we be expecting? It obviously has been very steady in the past years, and there was a fairly large increase in Q4.
Hi, Mohammed. Yes, sure. this quarter we had a large amount of non-recurring expenses, We have, as mentioned in the press release, in consulting fees, $13 million for legal advice and support for the development of the disaster recovery plan. We have another $22 million, which is registered in others, is for a reserve for uncollectible accounts for a couple of people who have not paid the rent in the building. It's basically one that rented a large space and hasn't paid. And we had a reclassification on the from credit notes, so we're showing $10 million more in revenues and $10 million more in expenses. We're reclassifying the credit note from revenues to expenses. And also, we have around $10 million registered for the long-term compensation plan. So the growth impact is, we did not have that. We were reversing that last year because we did not make the targets for that compensation plan. So the effect was doubled. So I would say you'd have to, for a run rate, take $45 million off the Q4 number.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I was thinking more just the technology side. It has been sort of running around technology expenses specifically. They've been running around $65 million, and they sort of jumped up to $85 million. So that was the sort of area that I wanted to. The other explanation was very clear in the press release.
Okay. As far as technology, you should see a run rate close to the 70.
Okay. All right. And with regards to the DRP expense, it's been while it's listed as exceptional or one-off, it has been going on for a little bit. It has actually escalated in the last couple of quarters. Is there a timeline where this expense would roll off and my understanding for some reason, and maybe I just had the wrong notes, was that the original DRP consultancy was supposed to end Q2 last year. Clearly it did not. So I'm just wondering if this one-off consultancy expenses, is there, and what's the timeline for the project?
Claudio, please correct me if I say something wrong, but the DRP consists mostly in equipment. But at some point, at some levels, we do have consultancies. Let me see.
The development of
the plan. So, yes, we do think this is a one-off. It should not be. We should not be repeating that. But the cost of the equipment will remain. And as far as how far along we are in the DRP implementation, Claudio?
Sure. Thank you, Mohamed, for a question. Well, the major cost of the DRP investment is related to infrastructure that was introduced a couple of years. So this will last, the amortization of this cost will last during this year. By the way, it ends by December, but I understand it was one of your questions. How long will it impact for the coming year? And I would say that it is 95% of the cost of DRP, and will last until December this year.
Okay, so that's great. Just final question: you did say that the board had recommended that not to give guidance this year. I'm just wondering what caused the change of direction in that regard, given that you've been historically fairly consistent on that.
I'm not sure, to be honest. It's there was always some debate in the board as to whether it was whether we should give guidance or not, and this time they decided against it. I'm not I can't really tell you something.
Okay. And my understanding then would be that you still have the same targets, because my understanding was that management was essentially given annual EBITDA margin targets, and that is still the case. You're just not disclosing them anymore?
Yeah, we do have our internal targets. We're just not disclosing them. That's correct.
Okay.
And Mohammed, sorry, on your first, on the run rates for technology expenses, we did have some expenses on a some licenses that we paid that should not be repeated for the next quarters. So I think maybe go with 65 or something around that for a recurring technology expense.
65, okay, maybe so
around 65.
So sorry, so that's from the Q1 onward. So then basically, should I assume that the bump up in Q4 in technology expenses was largely one-off?
Run rate from Q1 onward, yeah, take it from around 65.
Okay, so it just seems like a one quarter event then. Okay, thank you very much, guys, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gilberto Garcia from Barclays. Your line is now open.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for the call. Given your technology initiative, can you comment on your expectations for capital expenditures this year, and what sort of benefit to the EBITDA margin you expect in the medium to long term? Thank you.
We are expecting a capital expenditure of around $10 million for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding expectation for EBITDA margins, we're not disclosing any sort of guidance in that sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions. I would like to turn the call back over to Ramon Jimenez for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for participating in our call, and for following us and being our shareholders. And look forward to updating you for our Q1 results in a couple of months. Stay safe. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.